views and opinions expressed on the following podcast are those of the persons appearing on the program and not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Welcome to another edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I'm your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, with my arms wide open, saying, come on in, there's lots of room. You know, the strange thing is, I do have my arms wide open. You're always welcome here, that's right. All of us with ADHD, adults with ADHD, that's why Club ADHD was created. The podcast, the Facebook page, and the Twitter account. And we are supported by the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, otherwise known as CADAC. That's CADDAC. Drop in a .ca there, put it in your web browser, and you'll get to their web page. Actually, not just a page, it's a whole site full of information. Doesn't matter where you are. Yeah, it's skewed a bit towards Canadians, but there's lots of generic information that you can take wherever you are in the world and use it to your advantage to spread the word that ADHD is real. And they do a fine job there, and we welcome their support. I say there. I'm part of it, too. I do a lot of work with CADAC. Great bunch of people. That said, let me ask you this. How you doing? How you doing? That well? That's terrific. Or, not so good? Yeah, that's a challenge, isn't it? Just, as I always say, ride the storm. Hold on tight, keep your head above water, and things will get better. A lot of cliches there, but they're true. They really are. As for me, well, you know, up and down. It's been a strange couple of weeks. Just, I don't know where my head's at half the time. It just feels weird. I don't know if it's my medication or what. I'm getting out of it. And sometimes when you're having a rough patch or just a head scratcher patch, something comes along and bam, it makes things a little worse. Just as you're, you know, getting your head above water, your shoulders above water, another wave comes crashing down. And that's where your resilience comes in. It's important to just keep going. And it's tough. But yeah, I've had one of those, well, a couple of weeks like that. Matter of fact, I'm going to share a story with you that happened a couple of days ago that tapped into my strange brain as of late. I was going to go on the Twitter account. And yes, we have the Club ADHD podcast, the Twitter account, the Facebook page as well. And you can get to these places via links on clubadhd.ca. That said, back to the story. Going on the Twitter account, and I look after all aspects of Club ADHD. It's my baby. It's my dream, you know. It's my passion. So as I'm getting ready to post a couple of tweets, I click on the button, and bam, things do not look right. The Twitter display is not as it should be. It's changed. Ooh. And you and I know that we love change, right? ADHD and change, oh yeah, it just goes hand in hand like oil and water. Now, me not liking it didn't have a lot to do with my ADHD. The real reason stems from the changes, for me at least, not being practical. The information I wanted to see at a glance is gone. I have to click things. And I know from what I've been reading that Twitter, they're trying to clean things up and they want to make one display for all modes of connection, I guess you could say, whether it be an Android phone or a laptop, notebook, whatever. But I don't want to know the background. I just know I don't like this. And my brain was a little scrambled that day anyway. So the ADHD really kicked in, not in my not liking it, but in my focus. And I was hyper-focusing on this. What am I going to do? I don't like this. It's going to make my job a little tougher. Oh, I got to change this. So off I go into the land of the web, the internet. And I've been lucky. I'm very successful in finding solutions to things online. Been doing it for many, many years. Doesn't matter what it is, but I'll eventually find the right information and put it into practice as best I can. So I thought, well, I'll just go on my search. There's got to be somebody out there who knows how to revert back to the old way, the old display. And I'm looking and looking and looking, and there's really not a lot even dealing with the new display, just bits and pieces. I was getting frustrated. And hours are going by, and it bothered me the entire day and part of the night. I went to badminton later in the evening. Could only play a couple of games. Had to come back home to the home office. Let me figure this out. Now, as luck would have it, I finally came across someone who said, hey, I don't like this new display, and I have a solution. I know how you can opt out. Hit this link. I did, and voila. It went back to the way it should be. The old display reappeared. And all of a sudden, the clouds over my head, they disappeared. And I look to my left, and I see bright stars. And to my right, I see sunshine. And in the middle, I see a rainbow. And then I see a unicorn for, I don't know. The unicorn just wanted to be there. Everything was fine. Terrific. It's back to the way it should be. And I felt as good as I could feel with a scattered brain. Now, let me take you to earlier today when I was about to record this session that I'm recording right now. Matter of fact, I didn't like what I did before, so I'm re-recording it. In any case, I thought, well, I'm going to head to Twitter and just double-check some things as I usually do. I check the Facebook account and the Twitter account and make sure things are going well and throw out some ideas and whatever. I click on the Twitter button and bam, the new display comes up. Oh, my heart sank. However, unlike the other day, my brain wasn't as rattled and I wasn't as hyper-focused or shook up. Maybe, I don't know, second time around, it makes it easier perhaps. I'm not sure. But I'm starting to accept it a bit better. I don't like it. I mean, I was going all over the place before. Yes, I did my search. And yes, it took a little bit of time, but I came to the conclusion that it's the way that it is. There's really no solution out there just yet. And all we can do, and what people are saying, is let's band together the people who are experiencing this new format, which, by the way, from what I understand, is more or less a test. And some accounts are seeing this new format and some aren't. I have another Twitter account, a comedic Twitter account. I went there and the old setup is up there. And I'm thinking, hey, that's pretty good. But I wished it was over on Club ADHD as well. But it's not. Will I be able to figure out how to get back to the old display? I don't know. But I'm not going to let it bug me as much as it did a few days ago. Because a few days ago, I thought the world came crashing down. Back then, a few days ago, I thought this new display is going to jeopardize the future of Club ADHD, the Twitter account. I was thinking the very worst that could happen. Now, as far as I can figure, the folks at Twitter are trying to make this display simple, but in doing so, they're making it harder. And I hope, fingers crossed, that the realization will come around saying, yeah, this isn't good. In any case, there's not a heck of a lot I can do. I'm accepting it as best I can now, but a few days ago, I had a problem. Have you been that way about something? Yeah, we've all been there, right? Trying to control things that are out of our control but affects us. It's tough, especially with the ADHD thing when the hyper-focus gets going and you're focused on this when you should be focused on other things. You have other things on your plate. But it's tough, and it was really tough for me. It ended in a positive note. That's how I snapped out of it. But right now, I'm back to square one. I'm dealing with it as best I can. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it. I'm just wondering if you can relate, and I have the feeling you can. Well, we've got another good interview coming up. I know I say this each and every time, but it's true. We're just hitting a gold mine of interesting people. And we have someone who's, well, taken their ADHD, as was the case in some of the previous interviews, and taken it to a positive side of things, really making it work for them. And the great thing about this is that this person who is doing this is still in her 20s. Go figure. So what's that all about? Well, we are about to find out as we get set to air the interview portion of Club ADHD, the podcast. Up next, we speak to a young adult. How young? Well, she's in her 20s. But she hasn't let her youth nor her ADHD get in her way. She has a full plate of activities, and she has a roadmap where she wants to go, and she's getting there. She's doing it. She's up on stage. She's helping others. She's providing information that needs to be said. She's doing all this. She's traveling around Canada, around North America. And as I said, she's only in her 20s. Who is this person, you ask? Well, her name is Carlin Ramey. And as we do with many of our guests, we started off the interview by asking her at what age was her ADHD diagnosed?
I was diagnosed just before I turned 7, yeah.
So for the better part of your life, you knew you had it, right?
Yeah. It was a small period of time I remember without the label, that brief, blissful time.
That being the case, do you think it's beneficial to know you have ADHD at an early age?
It's tricky. I was thinking about that actually the other day. Because as an adult, I mean, you gotta know. I mean, it's the only way to get accommodations, access to resources, and then just, I've chatted with a lot of adults who got their diagnosis later in life, and it's, they always say the exact same thing. They always say it's like they know something's missing, like something's not quite right. But the problem is when you're growing up, when you're younger, I mean, it's hard enough that you know you're different, and then having that label on top of it is just another thing to kind of push people away. So it's tricky. It's a bit of a double-edged sword, I think, when you're growing up with the label.
Right. But I would have to guess, along with the help, you're also getting a healthy dose of ridicule for having this disorder.
Yeah. And especially in, like, that was in the mid to late 90s, and like I was put in a segregated classroom, so a lot of decisions that were made kind of, I think, set me back socially and apart from other kids.
You're not that way now. If anything, you are very social. I mean, how did you get out of that?
I guess just going off to high school, honestly. Actually, when I did go off to high school, I had a lot more freedom and was lucky enough to kind of find a very like eclectic group of students and friends that were very welcoming. So I got really lucky after I left that period of my life.
I guess if you go to a place that has more people, you're probably going to luck out and find people that are like you.
Oh yeah. It was kind of funny, actually. My childhood best friend went to a different school, and we both ended up at the same high school. We drifted apart there. I ended up being friends with the girls that were bullied at her school, and she ended up being friends with my bullies in my elementary school.
Go figure. Speaking of bullying, we know that today's society is very anti-bullying, and that's a good thing. However, when it comes to people getting bullied because they have ADHD, you just don't hear much about it. It's happening, but you just don't hear it.
No, I don't think you do. And maybe because I think there's a lot of they're asking for it kind of thing.
Yeah.
They're hyper, they're annoying the other student, or they're too physical of the other student. And it's a lot of blame on the student for being impulsive and not being able to control certain things. But I mean, that's exactly it. They can't control those things. It's not their fault, and being ostracized for that is so damaging.
Yeah, it's like people think we're doing this on purpose.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And I think because of that, that is why there's not a huge focus on that being the cause of the bullying.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with you. Now let's change gears and go to your high school years. Were you classified as being creative?
Creative, very, very energetic. I was always bouncing off the walls. I was lucky to have a few really great teachers that just let me do what I needed to do. And I chose mostly arts and physical hands-on related classes. So
Right.
I did well in those ones.
So is that where you got the bug as far as the theater bug and the willingness to get up on stage and show your stuff?
Yeah. I kind of started in, before that, we had a couple plays when I was 11 and 12, and I got to play Dopey in Snow White and the Seven
Really?
Dwarfs, which is pretty much my dream role. Which
Talk about labels.
Yeah. I know. I always think back to that, and I'm like, why, being a child who was made fun of for being in the special education class, would I choose a character by the name of Dopey?
I can think of someone who's directing this play. We're not going to call her Sleepy because she's far from it.
Yeah. But, you know, he's the comic relief, and I wanted to do that. And when I realized that I had an ability to make people laugh, I kind of latched onto that, and that became a really positive thing in my life.
Great. So were you ridiculed for being funny, or did that help you gain acceptance from your peers?
I think it helped gain acceptance when I was older, like when I was in high school. I was pretty introverted before that because any sort of, you know, hyperactivity shown or anything that was weird or strange, it was shut down right away by the kids around me. So I internalized that a lot and push that down growing up.
How did you find high school as far as scholastically? Were there accommodations there for you?
Yeah, I was lucky that I continued to have like a individual education plan throughout high school and was able to do like my tests in a smaller classroom. That's always big for me, and like getting more time for things, extensions here and there. So I got accommodations where I needed to.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think that like, for us learning, I mean, not all people with ADHD, but if you have ADHD and you're a hands-on learner, it's particularly hard to learn in a sit down at a desk, teacher in front type of way. But I definitely was accommodated. I got lucky there.
Where did you go after you graduated from high school?
From high school, I went straight to a theater arts program. And it was a college, Fanshawe College in London, Ontario. And it was super hands-on. I think I only had two desk classes. So it was a perfect place for me. I barely gave my ADHD a lot of thought, actually.
That makes sense. Looking back, did you see a lot of yourself in other students within the school? I'm talking ADHD here.
Yeah, there were a couple of people who had a diagnosis, probably a lot of people who didn't. it's quite common in theater, and it's also one of those tricky things, because if you are trying to get accommodation or trying to explain something to someone in regards to your ADHD, oftentimes you're kind of met with, I have that too.
Yeah, you're right. I know in my case, I was diagnosed at a later age, and I've learned that I have to watch who I say I have ADHD to, because sometimes the response isn't all that great. But sometimes if I mention it, the other person will say, well, I've got that too.
Yeah, it's interesting. And sometimes it's great and you can talk about it, and other times they're like, well, I'm not like that. And, you know, ADHD is a spectrum. I'm glad you got your diagnosis at a young age and it's never bothered you since.
So after Fanshawe, did you go right to the stage?
Yeah, well, I work independently, so I self-produce a lot of my stuff. So I started doing that after I graduated. I took more classes in improv and more storytelling. And I wrote my first solo show a few years after graduating.
Wow. What about a support system? Were you able to do this alone? I would think that would be tough.
I had an artistic partner that kind of helped me and cheered me on throughout the way. And she was my director too for that first show. And I always try and like bring on at least one other person. But I'm really lucky that my family's always been really, really supportive, and so my friend. So the technical stuff, all the administration stuff falls on me, and I'm still learning to do all that.
What? Okay. But, yeah.
Yeah. But in regards to just general support, I'm really lucky that way to have like a big community behind me.
I'm guessing you have someone else do your books.
What books?
Uh-oh.
I got stuff everywhere.
Yeah? What? Yeah, taxes? What are they? Receipts? Yeah. I think I have them around here somewhere.
Yeah. That's all. Still a learning process for me. I'm creating the art. I'm getting it up there, but everything else, I'm still slowly gathering and learning.
That's what software is for.
Yes, I'm not as technically inclined as I wish I was, but I'm learning to get other people to do it for me, or have them sit down and teach me one-on-one.
That's the key. Get someone else to do it, and you focus on what you do best.
Yes, that is very key.
So speaking of where you're at, tell us a bit about what you're doing. What's your company like? What's it all about?
Yeah. So Squirrel Suit Productions is our company name. And my friend Melanie White and I created it back in 2015 before we put my first solo show up at the London Fringe Festival. And since then, it's kind of just been a helm for us creating kind of any sort of work we want to do, whether we're co-producing a Shakespeare show or I'm doing solo shows. Mostly I focus on solo storytelling. Mm-hmm. And the main show that I'm touring this year and I do in schools is the ADHD Project. And it's all about growing up with ADHD. I've toured it across Canada and now I do it in schools. Yeah.
That's great. I've been reading some solid reviews about that. And just you being out there and explaining things and helping to break down the barrier, you're helping a lot of people.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I was noticing there started to be a shift in the media, a more positive look and more honest look on disability and neurodiversity. And I was still kind of like, oh, well, when are we going to see, a positive representation of ADHD? Because that's still so rare. And when am I going to hear, that kind of story? Yeah. And instead of waiting around for it, I decided to just do it.
I'm going to give you a round of applause, as I often do, to people who are helping to make a difference when it comes to ADHD awareness. I'll call you champion of the cause. That's what we'll call you.
It's funny. Once you kind of like join the cause, I guess, for lack of a better word, you meet so many people who are doing the same thing. Like there's this amazing ADHD graphic designer out in the States, Dani Donovan, and she does, you've probably seen her comics actually fly around online. She does these amazing ADHD comics, and I met this other, I haven't met her, but I met her online, this woman, Emma, who's doing a whole series in London, England about neurodivergent women. And I'm like, oh, okay, there's a lot of people all over the world starting to stand up and share their story and lift other people's voices up. And I think that's so, so needed.
Yeah, it really is, because there's still a lot of people out there who think, oh, ADD, as they call it, it's a Western world thing. People of privilege. They just want something to complain about. But these same people don't realize that ADHD has been around forever, and it happens no matter where you go in the world. It just might not be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Just because people ignore it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
Yeah, and it can be quite serious. I did a show at a school a couple of weeks ago, and a teacher ran up to me and she was crying, and this is kind of like, that happens sometimes with people who have struggled themselves. So I assumed that she had ADHD, and she was like, no, my friend, he just passed away from suicide. And she just said how if he'd seen something like this, if he'd gotten the right answers to what he was looking for, because they're realizing now he had a undiagnosed ADHD, what supports could he have gotten and what answers could have helped him. And it's so true. Like any other neurodiversity or disorder, if you don't get the support you need, we're very susceptible to going to struggle with mental health.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you don't know what's happening, and that's my story, living so many years not knowing what's going on in my brain, thinking everyone else is wrong, and then coming to the conclusion that, no, it's me, and not understanding why it's me, and then you're trying to deal, or somebody's helping you with the depression, and it's going against your ADHD, and it's just a never-ending cycle.
Mm-hmm. especially with something like this, where it's, you know, it's an invisible disorder. Yeah. And on top of that, it basically just makes you struggle at things that should be easy. Organization, being on time, like social cues, like all these things that, you know, should come naturally, and people don't understand why you can't do it, and you don't understand.
Yeah, and these people, well, there are plenty of them out there. They think
neurotypical.
Oh, yeah, it's right. And it's ADHD is just an excuse. Get over it. If I hear "get over it" one more time, I won't get over it.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever had a situation where somebody saw your production and came to you and said, "I had it all wrong," like a light bulb situation?
Yeah, I've had a couple teachers and a doctor even come up and say, you know, "I've never heard this side of things."
Great.
And I think that's a big thing, is everyone's hearing the teacher side or the parent side more often.
Mm-hmm.
But hearing the side of the person growing up with it and their thoughts and feelings of, because the show kind of chronicles from my diagnosis up into, you know, now. So hearing what it was like to go through that as a kid is more rare. And these people that are on the other side of the diagnosis table, they don't always know what it's like for kids, because they don't have the vocabulary to express it yet.
Yeah. I've got to ask, can you make a living at doing this?
That is a good question. I'm working towards that. I'm an independent artist, so it's a lot of like self-producing. It's a lot of my own funding and fundraising and applying for grants. But this is my full-time job now.
Right.
It's been my full-time job for 2 years now, which is pretty exciting, because usually if you're an independent artist, you need to have another full-time job. But I only work part-time at a group home for adults with special needs, which is my other passion. And I made more this year from my art than that job. So that's pretty a pretty big feat for me this year. And hopefully that'll just continue.
Another round of applause for you.
Yeah. It takes time, especially in this field. It's not easy for anyone in this field to make.
No, it's not, let alone ADHD. Yeah. I mean, and the thing is that you've got to survive. But in doing this, you're not making a lot of money, bringing in a ton of money, but you need some money to live. And it's going to be rough, or challenging, I should say.
It is. And that's when, like, where kind of I'm learning to, like, rely on the help of my team and the people around me. And can I hire out for those skills that I don't have? I think that's really key. Work with people who are better than you. I learned that this year.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to your ADHD, what are some of the benefits that have really helped you, that you feel that, hey, I have ADHD and maybe I couldn't have done this had it not been for my ADHD?
Yeah. I mean, definitely just, you know, having more energy than the normal person is always great. And I think I am able to come into a room and like build other people up in that way, which is really great for theater and ensemble work. And I really, probably one of my favorite things is I really like my hyper focus. Although, you know, sometimes I won't eat or take breaks and then I'm like burnt out for like a day after. I do like that I can like sit down and just hash something out. But getting to that point is always tricky of like starting something. But I really like that I work for long periods of time on things that I'm passionate about. It's really helpful in my field. There's so many positives. You know, you're out of box thinking. I definitely think I'm more creative because of it. I'm really good at my other job at the group home. I'm really good at under pressure. So, you know, deadlines and all aspects of my life are helpful to me. But I've always been really good working with people who are neurodiverse or have a disability. I worked with kids with behavioral issues too, and sometimes it was really violent, aggressive situations, and nothing has ever fazed me. And then I learned about how people with ADHD are very calm in high stress situations, and so I have that to thank for being good at, you know, this whole other aspect of my job and my life.
Well, the empathy role too, you understand what it's like to be different.
Yeah, that's how I got into it. It's funny, at my like grade 8 graduation, I for like future profession, I put down like I wanted to be an actor and I wanted to work in a special education classroom because I wanted to help other kids like myself. And I'm really lucky and privileged that I get to do both of that today. Not many people knew what they were meant to do when they were 13.
Yeah, exactly.
And I found that passion because I grew up different and was in a segregated classroom and knew what it meant to be called special in it and not be a good thing. So the empathy is definitely from growing up differently.
It sounds like you were focused at an early age when it came to this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. I was lucky to find figure out really early what the two things I wanted to do with my life was. Whether how I got there was different. I mean, I've always chased after theater, and I went back to school a couple of years ago to work in group homes and schools. But I've always found my way on these paths.
Do you find that figuring out the plan is a challenge? Like, how am I going to get there?
Oh, for sure. Even now, even in all aspects of, I'm mostly doing storytelling right now, but, I'm also an aspiring clown. And now I'm like, I want to go to clown school. Yeah. It's funny. Clowns, when they describe theatrical clowns, it's actually just a person of ADHD.
Without the makeup or with the makeup, yeah.
Well, theatrical clowns aren't as scary. They're I don't want to say normal, but they're a little bit different than your birthday clown.
I have to ask, do you drive a subcompact and how many people can you fit in it?
Oh, gosh. Sometimes I do feel like my car is a clown car because I have so much shit in it or stuff in it.
Yeah, it's true. Messes come with us.
Yeah. Oh, yes. They follow everywhere. Just figuring out what to do is a tricky thing because I'm interested in too many things and have all these grand ideas and goals and maybe achieve or actually go after fully 10% of all of my ideas.
How do you really stay focused? I mean, it's tough for many people, myself included. I mean, you start off with good intentions, but then again, you get sidetracked.
Yeah. I think part of it is, not beating yourself up for getting sidetracked. Yeah. Cutting yourself a break, and I'm still learning to do that. I found it helpful, at least especially when I was starting out, is going where the opportunities are.
Right.
I had a lot of opportunities to learn and perfect storytelling as a style, and so I went in that route, and it's been really, really helpful to kind of go where the opportunities are presenting themselves.
Have you ever scared anyone off with your enthusiasm?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can relate.
Luckily in theater, kind of most people are like that. But even, my boyfriend said something to me the other day. Oh my God, what was it? But it was something along the lines of sometimes your energy is too much for me or something like that. It was said nicer.
Carlin, I have to admit that I often forget that I have a lousy memory. Bada boom.
Yeah. Yes, that is also very common.
Relationships. You mentioned you have a boyfriend. Is that a long-term thing for you, or do you go through them?
I'm up and down. I found when I went back to school to study disability and disorders, I actually focused on ADHD and put a lot of focus on learning the symptoms and of adult ADHD. And relationships is huge, so huge. I'm definitely someone who's guilty of hyper focusing on the beginning of the relationship, and then there's that period of time where there's just nah, I don't care anymore.
Yeah, 0 to 100.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's definitely me. I'm at the point now that I can work through that and understand that, and I'm really lucky to have a partner that is also really understanding of that, and we talk about my ADHD and how it affects our relationship and how to work through our things together. I've had a lot of relationships that were not supportive like that, and they ended up being very, very negative because of that lack of understanding or compassion on both our parts. I didn't know what aspects of the relationship that were a struggle for me because of the ADHD until after I learned about it. And now that I know that, I can enter into this new relationship, and luckily my partner is really supportive, so we're able to have those conversations often.
Yeah. Sometimes our hyper-focus can work against us when it comes to relationships.
oh, for sure, you come on way too strong at the beginning. Or even I've just had the comment of people get confused. Either it's too strong or they really like how strong it is at the beginning. Yeah. But then when it drops down to zero in the same day, they're like, you don't like me anymore. I'm like, no, it's not that. I'm just paying attention to something else now.
Yeah, you must be manic. There's something wrong with you. What's going on? Yeah.
You may still be interested in that person. It's just now you're focusing on a friendship or a project, and mm-hmm. and they're not your sole priority, which maybe they were for that first few weeks.
Have you ever dated someone with ADHD?
Yes.
How did that go?
Difficult. I've dated a lot. Actually, I've dated a few people with ADHD, and sometimes it's great. I mean, it's great that they understand. That kind of understanding and forgiveness I think you give each other is really special. But there's a lot of different types of ADHD, and that aspect can be difficult, especially when people – I was lucky that I got supports younger and was able to take so much time learning about how ADHD changes when you're an adult. And I find that I have the tendency to become a personal ADHD therapist to my partners.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
You want to help other people. That seems to be inherent with us. We want to help others. Maybe it's an acceptance issue or something, but yeah, I can help. I'll do this. But sometimes when it comes to us, we're the last person to help.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. In fact, that's one of the big things with, I can remember with having partners with ADHD, they give so much of themselves to everyone around them,
yeah.
and, always having to help pick them back up again. And I would do the same thing, and they would have to pick up me. And it was, you spread yourself so thin to try and, help everybody around you.
It sounds like you've got it together. I'm sure a lot of people are saying, yeah, she has it together. But deep down inside, would you classify yourself as a strong person or somewhat fragile?
I think I'm a strong person. I think I'm a very human person, and I have my moments. I had a really good ADHD breakdown a couple days ago or a week ago. I lost my passport for the third time.
Really?
And I'm getting a new one for the third time. And I was like, that's it. I'm going back on meds. I can't live like this. My room is a cyclone right now. There are days where it all piles up and I blame my ADHD for everything, and I don't want to be this way. And it's just a day, and I'm really lucky that I'm able to swing out of that after that and go back to being that strong person that I know I am.
I mentioned this in the opening. I mean, you've got a lot on your plate, but you're still in your 20s.
Yes, I'm 28.
Wow, that's amazing. To hear what you're doing and have done, you think you've been around for a lot longer than that, but you're cramming a lot in a short space.
Oh, thanks. I always feel like I'm playing catch up in the theater world. But yeah, one of the joys of being able to do this full time is I can kind of chase after all this stuff. 10% of them have worked out, but 10% is still a lot.
Yeah.
Out of all the ideas that I've had.
10% of a lot is a lot.
Yeah.
If you don't do anything and you achieve 10%, it doesn't amount to anything.
Yeah. And that's a big thing, is kind of just figuring out a way to help us push past, I think, that procrastination.
When it comes to responding to the fact that you have ADHD, is there a difference between how older people respond compared to, say, people in their 20s?
I think so. I would probably guess yes, just based off of a generation of people that are a little bit more aware and socially conscious.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's always an amount of privilege, too, of like I look young, I'm a cis white woman, and I'm very, privileged that people see that and find out I have ADHD and want to accommodate. And I think that's a lot of because of my privilege. And if I looked a different way or was older, I don't know if I would get the same allowances, or I know I wouldn't. And there's a lot of people who don't. Like, I'm sure, how do you think it is for you versus like someone who's younger getting like support that you need or?
Well, it's tough because, unlike you, I didn't know till I was an old fart. I was 49 when I got diagnosed.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a kid of the 60s. Back in the 60s, ADHD, what's that? ADHD, mm-hmm. a bunch of letters. ADD, I don't know it. This guy's a troublemaker. This guy's a pain in the ass. This guy's this. This guy's that. And yeah. no one was ready to help. It was just like, you know, let's put this guy aside. And there's a fine line. And yeah, I tend to be a funny type guy, humorous. But there's a fine line between humor and that guy. And I've, yeah. I would often cross that line. So getting back to your question, I think it's a challenge, especially like me, my age, that not knowing, you develop your own ways of doing things. And that's saying you can't teach an old dog new tricks. There's validity into that. Because if yeah. you learn strategies at an earlier age, they become normal and easier to do. But if you find out at a later age that, hey, everything I've done up until now is not exactly right. It's not working for me. I've got to change. Wow. You know, I'm still getting over, and I mentioned this in the opening of the podcast, the fact that Twitter screwed up my page. They've got this new thing out, and so they can't change. I'm not used to this, but you know, that's my life.
Oh, all the things changed. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, it's valid that I'm upset about the change, and I'm still upset because I'm telling you this, but it's a clear example as far as, you know, change. Yeah, I handle change real well. I've got to change the way I do things. Okay, I'm up for that.
Yeah. and the people around you too, right? You know, I'm sure they've had to like adjust and you've had to be like, well, you know, no, it's not, I, you know, even just in the simplest things, like, no, I'm late all the time because of this thing, not because of, you know, I'm a bad friend or this
yeah.
and that.
But the funny thing I went back to some of these people because it was euphoric when I found out, oh, there's a reason I have ADHD. Whoopee. You know, yeah. there's a reason, you know, and then you start telling people, hey, yeah, I've acted this way because I have ADHD. I have a reason. This is what. And you know what it did? It turned off a lot of people. This yeah. guy's nuts. Don't need him. See ya.
Yeah. Or he's trying to put on this. He's trying to use an excuse or, you know.
Well, you know, it's just, I was just so pleased and happy and somewhat relieved that it was yeah. you know, beyond idiotic the way I was approaching this. I thought everybody else would be as excited as I was. And such was not the case.
Yeah.
So I learned to, you know, bring it back. And then after that, there's the depression side of it, which many of us experience because, oh, if I'd only known at an earlier age. But really, yeah. if I knew in the 60s, it wouldn't have helped me because there was no accommodation there.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, we're pretty sure my dad has it as well, but he never got a diagnosis.
Runs in the family.
Yes, genetic.
That's right. Let's have kids.
Yeah.
Let's have lots of kids. That way they're the percentage. Now, anyway. But it sounds yeah. like you've got your head on as straight as it can possibly be. I mean, yeah, we're all scattered at times, but you're able to focus on the important things. And one of the things that I think personally is very important are the things that you're doing when it comes to the awareness aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Again, another round of applause for you.
Thanks.
So what's coming yeah. up for you? What are your plans? Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
In 10 years?
I say 10 years because I'm lucky if I have that left. Have God. You thought that far?
I mean, I think I'm more of a 5-year type
All right.
of planner.
Well, what's the 5-year outlook?
I have 3 solo storytelling shows now. The ADHD Project is one of them, and I'm looking to kind of expand like my skills and grow as an artist. Mm-hmm. And like I said before, I've got this big dream of becoming a clown, so I'd love to do. You know, go to France and study at a clown school and then do like Clowns Without Borders. There's a therapeutic clowning program I'm interested in. So look at all these wild things.
Well,
do.
Yeah. But are you going to become a European clown or a French clown? They're totally different from, you know, Bozo.
Exactly. Like a theatrical clown.
Yes. Yeah, okay. All right.
Not a mime, but not a birthday clown.
No. You've got the round puffy things and that's about it. And a little bit of makeup, but you're not. You know,
yeah, I may not even have a red nose. They're, you know, they're very different.
Ironically, I know exactly what type of clown you mean. And speaking of clowns, I have to ask this question. Why be a clown?
Well, it was exactly like that. Like, it's always been something I've been interested in. Like, again, I was first drawn to theater because of the comedy. And then when I took a clowning workshop a few years ago, they described what a clown is. And it's literally someone with ADHD. It's someone who tries to do the same thing and fails again and again and again, but can sit in it and laugh about it and share that with other people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a clown can be naive, optimistic. A clown can be very determined. Just all these different aspects of clown and the story behind the clown. And I was like, oh my God, that's me. That's my life. Just always been something I've been interested in, theater, physical theater. And I've kind of achieved where I want to be for right now in storytelling. And with storytelling, you need to be able to live your life to mm-hmm. gain stories. So I'm not going to give up on that, but I also want to pursue other things. Yeah.
Just as long as you don't experience the tears of a clown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm dating myself, that old song. Yeah. When no one's around. But it sounds like you're in for a very interesting life. You're living an interesting life. I'm saying that as an old fart. And you know, I admire you. And thank you for bringing to light the real truth about ADHD.
Yeah, it's the story that I've wanted to tell for a long time. And, you know, the first time I ever put the show up, I was like, well, this is going to go terribly. And then everyone that was in the audience pretty much came to talk to me after. And it wasn't just people with ADHD, you know, people on the autism spectrum or with bipolar, maybe they're just struggling with mental health. And all these people who, you know, wanted to see their story on stage and related to something in the show. And just letting people know they're not alone and being able to connect with them, it's helped me so much and hopefully helped other people. So.
Shameless plug time. How do people get a hold of you if they'd like to have you up on their stage?
Yeah. So our website is www.squirrelsuit.ca. They can email me or find me on Facebook, or we're all over social media. The ADHD Project has its own Instagram page. This year, we're touring to our first out-of-country fringe. We're going to Orlando, Florida.
Very good.
In a couple weeks. If I get my passport.
To Mickey Mouse Land or outside?
Outside. It's the Orlando Fringe Festival. We tour Fringe Festivals. So it'll be, not in Mickey Mouse Land.
Okay. You're on the fringe. Then, how apropos.
On the fringe. Yeah. And then we're doing the Toronto Fringe in July, Winnipeg and Saskatoon. And I'm also doing a couple Edmonton shows. I'm doing the National Accessibility Week in Edmonton in May and another conference in Edmonton in October. And you can book ADHD Project for schools too, kind of anywhere, all over Ontario.
Carlin, if I might offer some advice, you got to be a little busier. Come on now. Come on, pick up the pace.
Oh man, I know. This year. Woo!
Thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Well, I think that was pretty interesting. Well, let me rephrase that. I know that was interesting. I hope you feel the same way as I do. She has her act together, and I want to thank her for joining us for this edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. Her name is Carlin Ramey. It's R-H-A-M-E-Y. And she has her life ahead of her, but it's clear that she knows where she wants to go, at least for now. And as is the case for our previous guests, especially these last three or four podcasts, it's clear that they're satisfied or they're happy. I mean, maybe not satisfied is a good word. They're happy. They're successful. And I'm not talking dollars and cents. They're successful because they know what they want to do and they're doing it. And especially when it comes to someone like Carlin, she wants to help other people, other ADHD people, and others as well. And that's admirable. That really is, especially at a young age. Now, if you're sitting back and saying, okay, that sounds great. Why can't I do it? Why can't you do it? Now, I'm going to say this for as much as my good as it is for your good. The only thing that's stopping you is you. If you think you can, you think you can't, that old saying, you're right. We just have to change the way that we think about ourselves. Because if we're just going to sit back, if maybe you've got that added baggage with your ADHD, the depression, and you're saying, woe is me, and yeah, I know what you're thinking, been there. But if you're thinking that someone is going to come riding along in a white horse saying, don't worry, I will make you better, or I'll change your life, it ain't going to happen. It really isn't. As much as we wanted to, it's not going to happen. And the more that we pity ourselves, the more other people will pity us. And people who are pitying someone, I don't think they really want to get too involved with that person or people, because it just brings them down. Maybe if we went out and said, hey, I want to do this. I've got some plans. You got a basic framework and you have some goals. And then you ask for help. I have the feeling you'll attract more people to help you, as opposed to just saying, oh, woe is me, I want help. Well, what do you want? I want help. Yeah, no. Write it down as systematic as possible. Have some goals. Try to do a little bit of a roadmap, and then seek help. You'll be surprised at the people that you attract. You really will, because they're not helping someone who's to be pitied. They're helping someone who wants to make a difference, wants to change their lives. And in doing so, you're attracting people. You're attracting helpers. There we go. And if you're older like moi, or as a few people have mentioned to me, hey, you're old. Thanks a lot. Well, it's never too late. It really isn't. I mean, I'm going to be 62 in a couple of months. My mother is still living. She's 96, just celebrated her 96th birthday. Now, if I make it to my 80s, I'm going to look back at my 60s and refer to it as back in the days when I was young. It's all relative. We have years ahead of us. And if you're listening in your 80s, good for you. You might make it to 90 or 100. Keep going. And if you're saying, older people don't listen to podcasts, I listen to them. And I'm sure there are other people out there too. Or maybe you know somebody who is struggling with ADHD and or depression, and they need a little bit of a kickstart. Just remind them that, hey, they're the people who can make a change. It's never too late. It sounds cornball. It sounds like, you know, a motivational speech, whatever you want to call it. But it's true. The only person who can make the change is you. And then if you make the change, you will attract help. Just lying on the road, squirming, you'll only attract people who are looking to bury you, maybe. In any case, on that happy note, I want to remind you that Club ADHD, the podcast, the Twitter account, and the Facebook page is supported by the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, otherwise known as CADAC. CADDAC.ca is their website, full of information, no matter where you are in this big world of ours. And if you want the links to our other aspects when it comes to Club ADHD, just go to clubadhd.ca. Well, that's it for now. I'm your cordial and ADHD host, wishing you and yours a great day. And don't forget, whenever the opportunity arises, to shout it out loud, ADHD is real. Bye for now.